Earlier this year, a 2026 investment forecast from Institutional Property Advisors ranked Cincinnati among the top five U.S. markets for apartment rent growth. That sounds like good news for developers, but what does it mean for renters? You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss Greater Cincinnati's rental market are University of Cincinnati Professor of Real Estate, Gary Painter. Thanks so much for being here.
Happy to be here.
And Axios Local Cincinnati reporter, Casey Weldon. Thanks for being here, Casey.
Thanks for having me, Lucy.
Gary, I mentioned those reports earlier this year that ranked Cincinnati among the top five in U.S. markets for apartment rent growth. What does that mean for renters? How does that translate?
Well, for most renters, what they care about the most is if the rent goes up, does my income go up at least as much as that? So am I getting ahead or am I falling behind? One of the reasons that Cincinnati's rent growth has been accelerating is because there's greater demand for living in Cincinnati as a region than maybe there was 20 years ago. And we just haven't built enough units to keep pace with that increasing demand.
So it's a supply and demand situation.
As an economist, it starts at supply and demand, and then we can talk about nuance.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Casey, I know across the country, rents have dropped in places where more apartments are being developed, where that supply is increasing. Is there much apartment development happening in Greater Cincinnati?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the big issue, we are seeing it in neighborhoods, Walnut Hills, we're seeing it across the river and Northern Kentucky, Covington, and things of that nature. I think the big issue right now is it's not necessarily spread across all price points. So there's still that middle income and low income, the affordable income, the workforce properties, if you will, that we're lacking in. So while houses are coming online, they're not necessarily meeting the demand of where our work staff is. So I think that's the challenge that's facing our region right now.
Gary, this might be getting into some of those nuances you just referenced earlier, but when more supply comes online, new units come online, do reduced rents hit all types of property equally, or do some types of units feel it more than others?
Well, it may not be equally, but research in Chicago and New York City and other places has shown that it does actually reduce the growth rate in rents. Maybe not actually reduces rents, but it reduces the growth rate in rents across the entire market. Clearly, based on a particular neighborhood and a particular product type, if you have new competition in that segment, then you're going to see rents potentially decline or the growth rate reduce even more. Mm-hmm. I mean, thinking about why are we here in this moment, like why are we seeing these rates of increase in Cincinnati be higher than other places, it's kind of fundamental to a couple of things. One is that Cincinnati's rents on average are still lower than most of the country. And so even a small uptick will be a higher percentage point increase than you would observe in a city like Dallas or even Nashville, just because the initial price point is lower. So that's something that people can take some solace because it's not necessarily that it's like the actual level is going up, but it doesn't give you any solace if your incomes aren't going up any faster than that. But the other thing that's important is that we had these successive shocks from COVID, which kind of stopped construction. And then we had our first inflation shock in 2022, which then led to higher interest rates, which caused a lot of bankers to pull back on credit. And so even though the last 2 years we've actually seen a lot of permits issued and we've seen lots of starts, a lot of that product has not fully come online. So it might be the case that a year or two from now, we'll start to see a deceleration in the rate of increase, but there still is documented a shortage in our region of over 50,000 units across all market segments. And as my colleague on this call said, it's concentrated more in terms of the lack of units in the middle and in the lower income brackets.
Yeah. Well, and Gary, you've referenced income a couple of times now. And what I read in trying to do homework for this conversation was that incomes aren't rising as much as rents. Even if rent is not increasing dramatically, incomes are not increasing as fast. Is that what people are feeling?
That's exactly what people are feeling. And this is something that is real. And people notice at the end of the month, they have less money for things other than rent. You might have heard the phrase before, the rent eats first. And it does, because without stable housing, you can't do anything else in life, support your family, give them stability, and help them to achieve what they what you hope your children and the rest of your family achieves. But people just simply have less money left over for all other necessities. And even, you know, it's okay to go out to dinner and enjoy yourself a little bit too. But if you do less and less of that, then you really feel it.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about the greater Cincinnati rental market. Are you a renter? Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Casey, Gary was talking about how Cincinnati rents, although they feel very high to a lot of people who are paying them right now, are lower than other places. Do you have a feel for how greater Cincinnati rents compare to other parts of the country, kind of how we stack up?
Sure. I mean, I think part of so it's interesting because simultaneously, while the rents are going up here, and as Gary pointed out, the income isn't necessarily catching up with that. To the rest of the country, Cincinnati still looks like a very affordable place. Rent.com just put out some information starting with June 1st, where nationally our rent is about 31% lower than the national average. They listed that the average rent price is about $1,142 per month. That's the greater Cincinnati region. Might be a little bit higher downtown, places like that, but that's the average price, which is about 31% lower. So you have this interesting narrative where to a lot of the rest of the country, Cincinnati is a very enticing place, especially if you're still able to work for home or things of that nature. So there's an interesting point for players who are trying to get people to move here. So it's an interesting marketing point for the city and the region, really, to try to attract people. But then at the same time, you're still feeling a pinch here. So it's both, it to me, and maybe Gary can correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like a great point to want to build more housing to meet that demand. But also at the same time, people are feeling the pinch. So that's supply and demand. And if people are able to pay, it is going to be a challenge as well.
Yeah. That $1,100 a month average that Casey just referenced, that obviously includes places that are a lot less than that, places that are a lot more than that. I mean, I know a lot of people looking for places, and it's not easy to find a place that's $1,000 a month or so. Is that part of the issue, that the average, that there's a lot more nuanced than that average price will tell you, Gary?
Well, there's no doubt that when people are looking for a place to rent, they want to find a place that is put in their preferred location while at the same time leaving as much money left over for other things as possible. So where are you going to start? Well, you're going to start at a price point where you feel comfortable. And whether we use like official HUD definitions of that people are considered cost burden if they spend more than 30% of their income in rent, or use other metrics, you know, that's up to the person. But it is absolutely the case that people are going to look for a place that's like $1,200 a month or $1,000 a month or whatever to save as much as possible.
And even $1,000 a month can easily be half a person's monthly income, depending on what kind of job they have and the wages that they're making. I referenced this report earlier, but an industry publication also reported, Gary, earlier this year that Midwest apartment demand was outpacing the Sun Belt because of steady rent gains and limited new supply. That, again, is kind of a publication geared at builders and developers. Sounds like good news for them, but again, maybe not so much for renters. Is that how you read it?
It is, and it's worth saying that there's a little bit of a chicken and egg problem as it relates to developers building units in time for the increased demand. And what that is that, you know, in the Sun Belt, it took a while before all of a sudden Nashville became a hot market. And once it did, then eventually the demand for new units was enough that they started building and building and building. But unfortunately, that also led to this period of 5 to 10 years where rents accelerated much faster than the rest of the country. What we're trying to do here in Cincinnati, me at, you know, the University of Cincinnati, people in the city, Greater Cincinnati Foundation, LISC, the Port, et cetera, is we're trying to improve our housing delivery system so that we can not have to wait until it's too late and then rents are vastly outpacing people's incomes, but actually reshape our system so that we can actually deliver housing at better cost. We know that construction costs are going up everywhere, so we're going to try to do the best we can there. But importantly, to make sure that what's going on in the city in terms of permits and approvals and all those kinds of things will not cause delays, so that we can get ahead of the anticipated increased growth attract employers who first want to know, where are my employees going to live? Mm-hmm. And then we can, you know, have a vibrant system where housing can be purchased by all, not at costs that make them feel burdened.
Yeah. Casey, back in my much younger days, I can remember apartment offers like first month's rent free to get units leased up. Are deals like that still around in Greater Cincinnati?
Yes. No, certainly they still exist. And when I first moved downtown in more than 20 years ago, that was definitely the case to incentivize you wanting to go into a place. But it's really a byproduct of that supply and demand we were talking about. So if there's a property that's not being leased as quickly as some others, you may start to see those get 2 month free if you sign a year-long lease, or a previous building I was living in extended it out to 15 months, 18 months to try to lock you in for a longer period of time so that they can guarantee some income as new buildings, especially downtown, are coming up. So they exist, but it largely depends on how much in demand that particular property is. So they're able to be found, but they're not necessarily everywhere.
Hmm. You know, Gary, a lot of landlords charge application fees for rental units, mm-hmm. and that can really be a burden, especially for lower income renters. Can you talk about how those can really add up and sometimes keep lower income people out of the market?
Yeah, and I don't know how evenly it's distributed across the marketplace, but I know it's the case that some landlords want to, you know, defray the risk of running credit reports and those kinds of things, which are why those application fees are charged. And so they're trying to cover their own kind of profit margin, mm-hmm. and recognize that if they are charging below market rents, not in the sense of, I should say, below average rents, mm-hmm. so that they're going to be more, you know, kind of sought after by broad swaths of the population. They want to make sure that an applicant actually is serious about this particular place, and they also want to protect themselves against running a lot of credit reports that are costly that they don't get compensated for. Your question was, how does it add up? Well, it adds up really simply. It adds up to be a burden for renters, especially to move from one place to the next. So it just increases their moving costs, which means that they might, they're not really stuck in a place, but they could be in a place that's suboptimal to meet their needs. But they're afraid to try to make the move because they don't have the money to make those transitions.
Hmm. We have a caller on the line. Hi, Steve. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Well, I'm a daily listener. Good show. So I'm giving you a data point. I had a job that, well, I'm retired now, that was traveling 9 months of the year. And chose a place in Silverton because in 2009, when I moved in, it was $410 a month, including heat. And now it's up to $710 a month, including heat.
Wow, that's a big increase. And that's from 2009 to currently?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Steve. Thanks for listening, and thanks
sure.
for that data
point. Yeah, you guys
point.
Have a good show.
Thank you. Thank you. Gary, does that, I know that I'm asking you to do math and all mm-hmm. kinds of things in your head right now, but does that feel like the kind of increase people have been feeling?
It is. And again, we're talking, in percentage terms, it's, coming 75% increase over that period. You could break it down by year and then you kind of say, well, that's only like 3-5% per year. But again, the base is so low compared to other parts of the country that, for example, if I was to make this personal, my daughter just moved to Cincinnati to go to grad school at the University of Cincinnati next year. She has lived in two places in her life, Southern California, and she was at the school at the University of Hawaii. When she comes here, she's looking at the rents and is just like, this is amazing. I can actually have my own place as opposed to have to share with 2, 3, 4 or more people. And so that people coming in might still view Cincinnati as very affordable relative to where they have been coming from. But at the same time, if you've lived here, you're counting on those rents and they are going up faster than your income, whether you're on a fixed income or you're maybe a minimum wage worker or something like that, it still matters for you and your budget and what you're going to have to choose to not purchase that month if rents are going up faster than your incomes.
Sure. We got an email from Kevin. Kevin writes, have any of your guests heard of 24 or 36 month leases so that a particular amount is locked in and renters are not subjected to price hikes that price them out of a unit? I've been a renter since around 2022, and I suspect that within a few years, the rent for my modest apartment will be the same, if not more, than what some of my peers are paying for their 4- and 5-bedroom homes. I'll start with you, Casey. Have you heard about any long-term leases like that?
Absolutely. Maybe not the 36th month. I will say from personal experience where I was most recently renting, they did offer a 24-month lease. And to your to the emailer's point, that it was considerably lower than leasing for 6 months, 12 months, whatever. That is an incentive, it would seem on the surface, to the rental property or the developer to ensure that you're renting that property for long term. They don't have to turn it over, install new appliances, go through that cleaning process. And it also is much more affordable for said renter so that they aren't having to pick up and move or worry about what their rent is going to be the previous year. So they exist. I haven't heard of 36 months, but I would not be surprised if that exists.
Well, I'll just say that, for your listeners or your those who are writing in, you might have to leave the United States to see those kinds of lease terms. We basically have the 1 year lease and the month to month, which dominates the marketplace. At certain locations in certain new buildings, usually that are at, well above the average rent in the region, you will see more concessionary rents. And part of that is that we'll lock in a lower rate for a longer period. But those are very rare. Mm-hmm. In the standard rental market, you're going to find at most a 1 year lease, which then might turn over to month to month at times. And so it's much more precarious in terms of being able to plan out your budget here in the U.S. than European countries, for instance.
Gary, are there any tips for negotiating that kind of lease or locking a deal in when you're getting an apartment?
Unless you're negotiating with someone who has new product on the market for which there is a lot of vacancy, it's very difficult. You can ask about it. Almost always the landlord's going to say, no, this is my lease. Mm-hmm. This is what I do, or the property management company. If you are renting directly from an individual who owns a property, they could write up their own lease of 2 or 3 years. But some people are reluctant to do so because they also don't know what the market's going to do. And so unless you have a personal relationship with a potential landlord, you might find those opportunities pretty slim.
Yeah. Gary, is renting still generally cheaper than trying to buy a home when you look at rent compared with a monthly mortgage payment? And I asked you this with only about 30 seconds left to go.
It really depends on what your plans are. So I have my students do this exercise in class. You can see pretty clearly that if you're going to stay in place for less than 2 years, you're better off renting a similar sized unit or house. And that's just because the transition cost of what you have to pay in terms of realtor fees and other fees if you're going to have a mortgage and then purchase a home are high enough that it takes at least 2, if not 3 or 4 years to overcome that. But if you're going to stay in place, think about owning if you can.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with University of Cincinnati Professor of Real Estate Gary Painter and Axios Local Cincinnati reporter Casey Weldon. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thanks all.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. And Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.